They say that new isn't always better. Well, it turns out millions of millennials have never read a paper map. Now, if you're living with sight loss, you probably rely quite a lot on GPS technology. But is it important to understand the logic of how a paper map works? And is there an accessible form of a paper map? Well, I'm joined now by Sean Conway, who's an adventurer, and Nick Giles, who is the Managing Director of Ordnance Survey Leisure. Hello to you both.
Hello. Hello. Thank you for having us.
No, it's nice to have you. Nick, first of all, so is map reading a dying art?
We're still very popular in so much as the paper map series is we still sell around about 2 million of those a year. So whilst the art itself isn't dying, the generational split of being brought up with sort of smart devices and mobile phones, where it's very easy to just follow a dot on a screen, is people are losing that skill to be able to actually identify the shapes and symbols and squiggly lines that are on a standard paper map. So what we're trying to do is to reinvigorate that love for actually getting out a map and reading it and understanding where you can go.
So what is the importance of being able to understand how a map works?
Well, for example, if you're out using and navigating with a mobile phone, you're reliant on battery, you're reliant on signal, you're relying on not having dropped your phone in a puddle. Whereas with a paper map, you've always got it will still work whatever the circumstances. So to be able to actually read that and understand it can get you out of a tricky situation, especially if you're in some way where you don't know, you're not quite sure exactly where you are.
What happens if you've dropped your map in a puddle?
Fortunately, they're made of quite resilient paper, so they do last. Albeit, they may not last for years and years if you do drop them in a puddle.
Now, Sean, you're an adventurer, so I presume you do use GPS technology these days.
Of course, I use a mixture of both. You know, it's the OS Map app has its place. You know, if you're going somewhere you've been before and you just want to make sure you're kind of on the right path. Or you're going somewhere there's no real risk of danger if it's flat area, not too boggy, then of course, yeah, the OS Map app is amazing. However, if you're going somewhere new, somewhere you've not been before, somewhere high up, somewhere where the elements can change, I mean, I think it'd just be silly not to take a paper map as a form of navigation, because it also opens up the way you enjoy the environment, you know, and having a paper map just adds to that whole experience.
I mean, I'm quite scarred. I remember as a child, my dad trying to teach me how to map read, and we'd go on a journey, and I'd be given the A to Z and where we were, and I start coming out in a sweat now because the pressure was on, and my mum, she wasn't very keen on it either. My dad used to get so irate because, yeah, you know, we just didn't seem to sort of grasp this whole thing. But is it taught at school now?
Yes, it is. It's still part of the national curriculum. So if you're doing your geography GCSEs, for example, you will learn how to read a Ordnance Survey map, and it will give you the basic skills. But it's a relatively easy thing to do once you get the grip of what all the various different squiggles and icons mean. And it's a sort of skill that can be picked up. The basics can be picked up in sort of even half an hour if you just sort of apply yourself to it.
Is there an accessible form? Because as I was saying earlier, a lot of our audience are visually impaired. So, like, I mean, for myself, actually reading a physical map is beyond me now. Are there accessible forms of it?
Well, actually, that's where digital technology does come into its own, in so much as actually you can zoom in a lot greater and you can see what is actually quite a small image, because we have to cut the country into the squares, and so therefore there's only a limited range of paper maps. So having that in a digital format where you can zoom in and see the detail a lot larger can help. But in terms of actually making a braille version of our paper maps, that's a very difficult thing to do with all of the level of detail on there.
Of course, Sean, I mean, those with sight loss would tend to be going on a journey like this with somebody with sight, but it's always good to have somebody in the party who can read the map.
Well, exactly. We're just trying to get people who can read a map to take someone out who can't read a map, and then hopefully pass that information down. And also, you know, because you can then all of a sudden you look at it and you go, wow, no way, there's actually a waterfall just over this crest here that I never knew about, because you're looking at a bigger picture on the map and that sort of thing, which, you know, it just increases makes the experience of going outside a lot better.
And do you find when you're looking at an Ordnance Survey map of an area, you can actually picture the terrain in your head as you're looking at the map?
Oh, yeah, 100% now. You know, it is actually quite easy, as Nick just said. You know, half an hour of learning what a contour line is, what it means, you know, what the top of a hill is versus a valley, what a river is, what a pub logo looks like, very important. You know, all these things together, you then all becomes 3D and you can look at the map and go, right, well, actually, you know, there's no point in going there because it looks like there's almost a sheer cliff or a very steep gradient that we might not be able to go down. Let's go this way around where it's a bit of a shallower gradient. So yeah, you eventually do have this, it's like turning on HD, you know, your environment turns into HD straight away.
How long have we had Ordnance Survey maps as they are now, Nick?
So we've been mapping the country since 1791. So we were actually formed to map the coastline of Kent for fear of Napoleon's navy invading. So the very first paper map was actually sold in around about 1810. And we've been running the leisure range of maps for the past sort of 100 years. So they've been much more accessible. It was quite expensive, that very first map. It was about 10 guineas back in 1800s, so early 1800s. So that's going to be quite a lot of money in nowadays. Well, the leisure series is 100 years old now. So people have been using that to go out and explore Great Britain for the past century.
Yeah, and there's always that nice feeling that as long as you've got somebody who can actually read, physically see the map, that you've got a compass, then you shouldn't be lost at any time, really, should you?
No, and also, you know, once you learn to read a map, you kind of you build up the internal compass in your head. You know, you kind of you become more spatially aware. You know which is north, south, left, east, and west, and up and down. And you know, if you've used it from the beginning, you know, you kind of know how to get home anyway because you've been more engaged in your environment.
You've never been on a hike with me.
Challenge accepted.
I used to have a fantastic sense of direction to the point where, you know, I would debate with people and be right when we were up somewhere. Now, as my sight's deteriorated, my sense of direction is shocking now. So even more the reason why you need a compass and a map sort of thing.
Well, exactly. And because, you know, it's you train it. It's part of, you know, it's inbuilt into you, that sense of direction. If you don't use it, you kind of forget about it, don't you?
So where can we get some more information then on the what's happening on the National Map Reading Week?
Well, there's loads of information, tools, tips, map reading guides from this very simple to the slightly more advanced on our website, which is os.uk.
Sean Convey and Nick Giles, it's been really interesting. I hope you find your way home.
Thank you.
Thank you.